It is through the blood.
Amen.
Through the blood of Christ, that gospel it is the power of God unto salvation. Nothing else can save. Nothing else can work but what Christ did on Calvary. Amen. Bless the Lord. If you've got your Bible, Hebrews 7, verse 11.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. That's as far as I want to read this evening. Here you have God giving the writer inspiration to write this down. I think most people believe that the Apostle Paul, because of the language that's used throughout Hebrews, that it had to have been the writing of Paul. Here he's talking about how that the Aaronic, or the priesthood of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, did not make anything perfect. But he said the bringing in of a better hope did. The bringing in of a better hope did. And that Aaronic priesthood consisted of the law of God. He says, for the law made nothing perfect. That's what I want to. And he goes on down and he says, or back up in verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment. In other words, a putting aside, a putting away, going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. He's talking about how the law was weak, how the law was unprofitable. And I want us to look in the scripture at some things where the law was unprofitable and how the gospel fulfilled it. Here, of course, he lets us know that this unprofitable, this whole priesthood, this giving of the law. You see, the world, I'll tell you what the world's looking for today and still trying to do. They're looking for something to fix everything and make everything better. They have governments that they think will fix everything and make everything better. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't even promise to make everything better. And it's the most powerful thing in the world. But it does promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the church has been here for 2,000 years, and the world is getting worse and worse and worse. It's not the gospel and the church's fault. Man has a free will. And as long as man is in the flesh, everything that he puts his hand to is only going to get worse. He can try to make it better, but it's only going to get worse. They've tried so many different things in society, but it only gets worse. It fails. You see, God handed them perfection. He handed it to the Jew. Do these commandments and live. And they couldn't do it. Could not do it. Man cannot do it. He cannot be perfect. He cannot keep the law of God on his own. He can't make society better. He can't make his home better. He can't make the world around him better. They can try, but there's not a quick fix. There's not a quick fix. This all is going to have to be done away with. And the bringing in of something else will have to take place. And that's not the message tonight, but it's a deep, deep study. But so he lets us know that the law was unprofitable. He says it plainly, that the law was unprofitable. And the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is that better hope. The bringing in of a better hope. Amen. Not that you and I would keep God's law, but that Christ would come and give himself a ransom for many. Amen. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. That's how you and I draw nigh to God, is through the gospel, through the better hope. Now, the law was unprofitable in bringing redemption from sin. You and I could not be redeemed from sin by the law. The law, they had sacrifices, they had priesthood, they had everything they needed to do something about sin, but it never redeemed them from sin. Look in chapter 9 and verse 15. chapter 9 and verse 15. Now, he just got done saying, he just got done talking about the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying the, to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. You see, First Testament didn't do them away. Law didn't put them away, Brother Ronnie. Put them off. It never did away with them. And he says that right here. For they were under the First Testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They had to wait. Those of the Old Testament that died in faith, giving sacrifices, that put off their sin, never put them away, never put them away. You know when their sin was put away? It was put away at Calvary. It was put away at Calvary. I mean, listen, thousands of years man had been in paradise that had given sacrifice, waiting for the Messiah to come. His sins were put off. They weren't paid for, but he had a sacrifice. He did what God said. But he was still a sinner, and he could not go to God. He went to paradise. His sins were put off for 1,000 years, 1,500 years, until how long? Some of them. Well, ours has been paid for 2,000 years back. If theirs was waited for them ahead of time, surely ours can be paid 2,000 years ago. By faith we accept what Christ has done on the cross. It is His blood. It is the gospel that brings redemption from sin. Man has to be redeemed from sin. And the Old Testament couldn't do that. Listen, all these people, they are keeping days and keeping times and they're doing this and doing that, and they've got rituals, and that's not going to save them. That does not redeem us from sin. The gospel of Christ redeems us from sin. You need to remember that. Your sins are redeemed. That means bought, paid for, and done away with. In Christ, and only in Christ, He is the better hope. Amen. The Lamb of God that could actually take away the sins of the world. Amen. Never has been a lamb that could take them away. Just put them off. But He takes away the sins of the world. Could not, listen, the law and the Old Testament could not make man perfect. But the gospel will. The gospel will. Look in chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. The bringing in of a better hope did. Did what? Made things perfect. Made something perfect. What is that? Us. To be perfect. When God commanded us, be therefore perfect as He is perfect, how can I be perfect? Only through Christ. Only through what Christ has done. The better hope. Not by the keeping of the law. I can't be perfect. You know, I thought if I, you know, straighten up and do right and spit white and keep the commandments and walk straight and obey everything that God said. And that's not going to make you and I perfect. Cannot. We can't. We don't have it within us. It's not within fallen man in his fallen nature to ever attain perfection. Amen? Never. But through the gospel. That's what the gospel is. It is the power of God to make you and I perfect. That's our position. When God looks on the saints of God, he sees perfect. He sees without blemish, without spot. That's what he sees. He sees perfection. He sees us through his Son. The law could not do that. Let's go on to give eternal inheritance. You know, if I could live like the Jew, I could get the inheritance of the Jew. I could get an eternal inheritance if I did what God asked me to do. Could I? Look in Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. When you get back in Romans, you start seeing a lot of heavy, the explanation of the gospel, that of faith. Romans chapter number 4. In verse number 11, he's talking about Abraham in receiving the sign of circumcision. In verse 12, he says, "And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised." Look at this, verse 13. "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect." You see that? "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world." The promise. I'm talking about getting eternal inheritance. "The promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." He's talking about you and I being given an eternal inheritance, being made, and that's us being made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs and joint heirs. That's our inheritance. Not just of being saved, but being made heirs, joint heirs. What's his is ours. What's ours is his, as if we had anything to give. We got the good end of the deal, I promise you that. We've been given an eternal inheritance. You know, when I was a younger believer, I first started learning about, you know, laying up treasure in heaven. And that, you know, how your treasure in heaven would multiply. And I thought, God, I don't make much. And even it multiplied, seems like what I've laid up is going to run out. How am I going to have enough to make it through all eternity? But God promised me an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. It's never going to be revoked. It's never going to be revoked. Never going to be taken away. Never going to say taxes due. Can't pay. Sorry, get out. Nothing like that. Amen. An eternal inheritance. Life forever. Life that never ends. Amen. A life that does not run out. A glorified body that does not get sick or die. Think about that eternal inheritance. He frees us from sin and death. The law couldn't do that. It imparts faith. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law does not give you and I faith. The law is not of faith. The Bible tells the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, but the law is not of faith. How can we live by faith and live by the law? Can't. The law does not give us faith, but the gospel gives us faith. Amen? The gospel of Christ gives you and I faith. God imparts faith. Faith in His Son. The law doesn't give us faith. Can't give us faith. Amen? Can't give us life. Same chapter, Galatians 3 and 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. You see, the law is not against the promises of God. I'm not trying to, listen, I'm not saying do away with the law. The law is a bad thing. Listen, it's our schoolmaster. But there's some things the law could not do. That's why the bringing in of a better hope had to be. Had to be. It could not do it. So we're looking is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If the law could have given life, then righteousness should have been by the law. Because we could have attained righteousness, therefore attained life. But the law couldn't give life. But the gospel gives life. Read John chapter number 3. It's one of the great introductions to the gospel of Christ and it giving life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life, everlasting life. Amen. It gives life. Christ gives life. The law can't give life. The law failed to give life. Now Jesus, when He came to die, He said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, do what it could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh. He came to do what it could not do. And He says that, Romans, and Paul says that, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The law couldn't make us the righteousness of God. Christ did. Christ did. To purge our conscience. Amen. To purge our conscience. You see, because no matter what happens, our conscience can still be offended. In Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 9. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. He's talking about a priest doing the service in the temple. You know, receiving the offering, mutilating it, putting its blood on, you know, its body burning in the, on the altar, and bringing its blood in the basin into the Holy of Holies. He's doing all that. And he said it was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. As pertaining to the conscience. You see, no matter what he did, his conscience is still scarred. Still scarred. Now listen, believer. The gospel of Jesus Christ has enough power to purge your conscience from dead works. To take those things, listen, that tried to scar our minds and our life. Listen, it's got enough power to wash us white as snow and to purge our conscience. I believe that. You know, if you go about living a guilty life all your life, well, of course it's never going to leave. What you got to do is realize if you're saved, that guilt, listen, you don't have to carry that guilt anymore. It's gone. That's gone. That's gone. Gone. That's not me. That's not who I am. That's not what I am. That sin is gone, paid for. Amen, by the blood of Jesus. Clean. Amen. You and I are made clean. Made clean. Purged. 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 That means get it out. If we were the Israelites, none of yous would ever have access to God. I would. The high priest, and only once a year to go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat of God. But you didn't have access. No access. You can't just kneel like you can now, Brother Adam, and pray. Straight to the Almighty God. As sons and daughters of God. The gospel has given us access. Look here in chapter 9. Verse number 7. But into the second went the high priest alone. Once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. In other words, he's saying the Holy Ghost is saying the way into the holiest of all has not been made yet. It's not been revealed. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing. While the first tabernacle was standing, the early tabernacle, that was the Holy Ghost way of saying the way to God, it's not been made yet. Not for all of you. No. But the gospel brings us to Christ. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. He said, you know the way. I am the way. He tells us there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You and I can come to Him. The Spirit of the Lord cries, Abba, Father, that access that you and I have. You read in the book of Hebrews, he talks about us. We have an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's like you and I have got an anchor hooked to the other side of heaven. Amen. Bless the Lord. Last one, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 1, then I'm going to go down to another verse. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Look at this. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Under two or three witnesses. You know what the law couldn't give? Mercy. The law couldn't give us mercy. Under Moses' law, a person sinned, they died. No mercy. No mercy. The gospel brings you and I mercy. Great mercy. Great mercy. The mercy of God. You think about God's mercy given to us. How sacred and precious that is. That the gospel, what Jesus did, He suffered seemingly with no mercy to give you and I mercy. Suffered with no mercy to give us mercy. Boy, I bless the Lord. There's a lot of things the law couldn't do for us. But the bringing in of a better hope did. Well, it sure begins to open the mind when you can see scripture after scripture the things that the gospel of Christ has done for us. What a blessing. Amen. I want you to stand.